We're having a gardening show. Joining us this morning, we have Lee Skidmore to give us some tips and hints. Good morning to you.
Good morning.
And thanks so much for being here. So it's always great to check in with you. There's just so much that
is
to know and so much that's happening.
Yes.
So, yeah, tell us, what topics are we discussing
today?
Well,
as you and I talked about a couple of weeks ago, keeping plants blooming all summer, followed by herbs and leafy vegetables, leafy greens, harvesting, preserving, storing, outdoor succulents, and geranium care.
Okay.
And I've had lots of questions about geraniums this spring because apparently they're going crazy, growing and blooming. And
is that unusual at this time?
Well, I've never had so many questions.
Oh, okay.
So I guess I don't know. But anyway, keeping plants blooming all summer starts with, of course, picking the right plant for the spot. And that easiest way to know if it's going to grow and bloom where you want it is to read the tag, because the tag will tell you how many hours of sun it needs a day in order to bloom correctly. And also fertilizing it regularly with a bloom boosting fertilizer. Fertilizers are readily available. An easy one to get is Miracle-Gro. And it's a 15-30-15 formula. That middle number is the one that you're concerned with for blooms. The first number is nitrogen, and that makes the plant green and helps with foliage. The middle number is phosphorus, and that does the flowers, the fruits, the seeds, and roots. And then potassium makes for strong, healthy plants overall. So when buying a bloom boost fertilizer, you need to find one with the middle number. That's the highest. And make sure it's water soluble. That way you can dissolve it in a gallon of water. And you can either use your sprayer, and you can spray the foliage as well as pour the mix on the ground.
What's the advantage to spraying the foliage? I've never heard that before.
It's called foliar feeding, and the plants will absorb nutrients through the leaves as well as through the roots.
Hmm, I did not know that.
Oh, good.
I learned something new.
Yeah. If the plants is going to be on a deck or a hanging basket, you need to make sure that you can keep the soil moist. Luckily, we don't have to water two or three times a day here, but you need to make sure that the soil stays moist and that you provide good drainage. I learned at a workshop last year about, I don't remember the name, but it's an aquasorb. They're crystals that when you put them in water, they absorb, and then as the soil dries out, the roots can get water from those crystals, and then the crystals shrink back to their original size. And that's super.
And I will give a warning on that. Don't use a lot of it.
Because it
expands like 30 times its size or whatever. And I one time did that and put, I thought I wasn't putting very much in there, but it just, it exploded. I had to take a lot of it out.
I put some in a tub. And as it filled up the tub, I kept adding more water. You know, those great big totes, those 65-quart totes. Yeah, it does a lot.
Mm-hmm.
It does a lot. And if you can't use it fast enough, then it disintegrates and makes your water just kind of slurpy.
Hmm.
So anyway, good stories.
And going back to the fertilizer with the three numbers,
mm-hmm.
Does it matter? Like certain plants, I know sometimes it'll give advice on have it be 111 or 526 or whatever. It'll have advice on that. So does it really matter?
I think the most important thing is to use an all-around fertilizer, which would be equal numbers. And then for specific things, you would give them, like if you want for blooming plants, specifically annuals, you would use fertilizer with the middle number as the highest. If you give your vegetables too much nitrogen, which is that first number, you might not get as many vegetables, fruits, or whatever.
Big crop.
As you could.
Okay.
Yeah. So, okay. Another important thing is to deadhead often. Deadheading means taking off the spent blossoms and not letting seed pods form. Because once a plant starts to set seeds, you know, its internal clock says, oh, the season's over. I better set seeds so that I can get ready to die. So you want to, you know, make sure that you do that. If it gets leggy, prune it back. Prune it back several times a year if you need to, because usually annuals, if you trim them back, you will get more buds at the leaf nodes where you cut the stem. If you got a 6-inch stem and there's only leaves at the end, cut it back, and you should get more sprouts and more flowers back there. When you're transplanting from the nursery pot into a deck pot or to the ground, add some Osmocote to the soil, which is a pelletized fertilizer, and it's I don't remember the numbers of it, but it's a good all-round fertilizer, and it will last months in the soil.
And that's a question about the fertilizer here, because we get so much rain. Does that, like, leach the nutrients out of the soil, and so you need to fertilize semi-regularly? Or
that's what I've heard. You know, I've never done a test to find out, and I've never read any specific scientific study. But, you know, your brain tells you if you're always pouring water on your plants, everything is going to leach out. Most fertilizer packages have a schedule for fertilizing every 5 weeks or 6 weeks, or I do every 2 weeks with my flowers. My other things, you know, my annual, my perennials and my trees, I do once a year. And they seem, you know, knock on wood, to be doing fine. But I am very strict with fertilizing. I'll start early when my primroses start blooming, which is probably 1st of March, with a quarter strength. And then I will increase to regular strength by mid-May and then stop about the end of August fertilizing. You need to make sure that you do your rhodies and your azaleas, because the buds are setting now. So you want to make sure that you keep them fertilized so that you'll have nice buds next year.
So is now the time to fertilize them?
I fertilize mine as soon as the ground thaws out. But I do it at quarter strength and work my way up to full strength by package directions.
Okay. And so it's good to fertilize while they're blooming?
I do. Okay. I don't think it says on the package to stop fertilizing at a specific date. We're told by master gardeners that you don't fertilize when the ground is so cold that the plants can't absorb or aren't absorbing nutrients, because it just builds up. It can build up, or you could just be wasting your money on fertilizer.
Okay, so it sounds like now is a good time. And then you recommend stopping around August.
Because the plants are starting to slow down and start to go dormant. You know, I don't know that rhodies go completely dormant, but they're not blooming and they're not putting out new leaves. But you can watch that little bud get just a little bit bigger, and then as it gets closer time for it to bloom, it does get bigger, and then I start giving mine every 2 weeks full strength.
And they need that time in fall to get ready and rest for the winter.
That's right. That's right. When you're transplanting, make sure that you use a good soil. Make sure that you provide good drainage so that you don't have waterlogged plants and, you know, all those problems. Okay, any other questions about
blooming?
Okay, we'll go on.
Not for right now, but if something pops into
okay,
my brain.
Okay, just butt in. Leafy greens and herbs. I always put mine in a good organic soil. I fertilize lightly, if at all, and you can buy fertilizers that include herbs on their labels. Read the tag or the seed package for planting requirements. I keep all my herbs outside except for basil, and many of them overwinter.
Hmm.
So I just, and I use a lot of herbs, so.
Do they need to be in a protected area, or you have
no,
them out?
No,
just, okay.
It's, you know, sink or swim with me. I bought lettuce bowls in May at the Garden Club plant sale. That was mid-May. And I'm ready to start harvesting them. that happens that quickly.
And so these are basically just bowls that just lettuce seed is in it.
Right.
And
I mean, we,
different types
right.
grow.
We bought
and then
four or five different kinds, so they all look different. But they include five or six different kinds of lettuce in a mix, or you can buy specific kinds of lettuce. Like I love a lettuce that's called Merlot. It starts out real dark purple, and then it becomes green in the center and pinkish purple around the edge, and it just makes a nice addition to the salad. I suggest you use scissors to snip off what you want for dinner and not use your thumbnail or jerk, because you can damage the stem and then the plant will die.
And you can keep harvesting from the outside in and it will keep
going. It will.
And I will say one thing, lettuce is the one thing I can grow.
Oh, good.
It grows quite easily pretty much anywhere.
Once you get it started, yeah. Yeah, I think it does too. You always harvest the lower leaves. You keep moving up the stem. Or if you want a lot of that lettuce in your salad, then you can cut it off 2 or 3 inches above the ground, and it will produce some more leaves off that base. But if you cut it right at the ground level, so sad, too bad, you got it all. With herbs harvesting, each one is different. You know, I reread the Master Gardener information, and it says each one has its own needs. But generally, trim with scissors, you know, keep them watered, fertilize lightly if you think it's necessary. They say harvest early in the day before the sun bakes the essential oils in your herbs. It says as soon as the dew is gone, harvest. Well, most of us are at work at that time, so I would do it before I left for work and put it in the refrigerator or in my, you know, my saving boxes. With most herbs, harvest the lower leaves, use scissors so as to not damage the stem or rip the plant out of the ground. If you want to harvest a lot, don't harvest more than a third of the plant. I mean, it could go into shock and die. So just be a bit cautious with all you're wanting. And be prepared to dry them, freeze them, puree them, and make whatever's.
And most of them will come back year after year? I mean, basil, no. But a lot of them.
A lot of them will. And again, you know, the Master Gardener information says each one is different. So read the seed package or read the tag that came with a plant. I know you can overwinter celery and sage and rosemary, chives. What else have I had? That's probably all that I've overwintered. But you start out, you know, the next season with big, healthy plants. And you might be able to bring them in and keep them in the windowsill. But the only herb I have inside is basil.
And are you going to offer some tips about storing?
Yes.
Storing them and drying
them? As soon
as
I turn the page.
Okay.
They're so abundant, and I think they're so easy to raise that you could do almost anything you want with them. Chives and catnip, you can cut them off about 2 inches above the ground, and they just grow that much faster, which I was surprised about catnip, but that's what the books say. You can dry those. I have a dehydrator, and it's low and slow for your herbs so that they don't lose their color, they don't lose their flavor. But you can then put them in Ziploc bags, put them in jars, store them in a dark place, put them in the freezer.
So in drying them, you use a dehydrator.
I do.
Are you experienced with, like, the hanging method? Because I have not been successful, I guess.
You know, some things I can do, some things I can't. You can do catnip, you can do onions and garlic, you can do lavender, you can do basil. I just snip it up. I don't like the stems when they get dry, so I make sure I just get the leaves. I chop it fine, and I have the little tiny embroidery scissors for snipping the leaves off. And depending on what I want to do with it, like we make Italian herbs, and we'll use basil, rosemary, oregano, fennel, thyme, and sage. And we have proportions that we like. But then we'll take and put that in a little bit of oil and puree it. And then if we have a lot, we'll put it in ice cube trays and freeze each cube individually. Or if we have just a little bit, we'll put it in like a Ziploc bag or a teeny tiny Ziploc or, you know, the containers. Yeah. But you can do, Oriental, you can do Southwest, you can do poultry, you can make up your own blends, whatever you like in your, usually in the winter, it's sauces and soups and stews and casseroles. And so, oh, I've got fresh herbs in the freezer.
Okay, I was going to say, so then you just pull out a cube and toss it in.
Yeah. I don't do bay leaves, you know, the bay laurel. I just let those dry naturally. That's something I can dry hanging. And then quickly put that in something and seal it. I mean, I don't even use vacuum seal. I just put them in Ziploc bags. And most of them I put in the freezer because my cupboards quickly run out of space. But you can do that. For your basil, I pinch mine back starting when it gets the third set of leaves or the fourth set of leaves to keep it short and bushy. But you can harvest tons of that. And you can put tons of seeds in one pot and just keep pinching it. Or you can give it away. I like to make herb baskets in the spring and give those out. You know, when you start your spring barbecues and housewarmings and that kind of stuff, you invite me for dinner, you might get a Southwest herb basket. So, then Southwest is cilantro, oregano, thyme, parsley, and mint. And the only thing I would be concerned about is the mint because it is such a strong herb. You could dry that hanging upside down easily too.
And the cilantro, which will, if you don't keep it pinched back, goes to seed, goes to coriander. What, how much do you need to pinch, I guess, cilantro back? And is it one that you can kind of cut back or?
You can, yeah. Anything I think that sprouts along the stem and you get new little branches, you can pinch that terminal bud out and it will, doesn't kill the plant if you're, you know, you don't rip it out of the ground, but it causes it to bush out. So you can constantly do that, but I just grab a side of it and cut. So I've taken off a third of the plant, and then I've got cilantro for soup and salad and, you know, my Mexican dishes. But it freezes well. And you, if in your notebook you write down what you did and your proportions, then you've got your recipe for next year. So
and are you freezing it fresh, or are you drying it out first, or how are you freezing
it? Well, I like to, some things dry fresh, dry, like chives. I like those dry because then you can keep them, and you put 2 cups of chive in the dehydrator and you get out 1/2 cup. And so they puff up in soups and stews. I don't freeze or store fresh chives, but most things I like to dry and then make my mixes. If I'm making pesto, I use everything fresh. One of the garden club ladies did a presentation on basil and pesto, and she makes pesto using the regular ingredients, but instead of pine nuts, she uses macadamia nuts. Talk about elegant. I mean, it raised pesto to the next level.
Really?
Huh. Really. So we had fresh basil, fresh garlic and macadamia nuts, and it was so creamy and good. And then she used, I think, canola oil, but you could use any oil. But then you can freeze that. You can store it in the refrigerator. If you use it often, there's no need to freeze it. But I freeze dry. I do infused vinegars and oils. If you like tarragon vinegar, and you know how expensive that is at the grocery store, you can make your own. You can do oils. You can puree and freeze, or put it in ice cube trays, so you've got it. And you can do just all kinds of things. And there's so many recipes.
And so when you do pesto, and you said you freeze it, is it something that you have to slowly thaw to bring out, or how do you revive it?
You put it in oil. You know, your recipe will tell you 1/2 cup of oil, you know, give you the proportions. And the oil doesn't really freeze. It stays semi-soft. And just like 30 minutes sitting out at room temperature, it's ready to just scoop out of the jar and add to whatever you want to put it in.
That makes sense. Okay.
Or add it to sour cream and make a delicious dip. you know, things like that. And it tastes fresh. It doesn't taste like store-bought, you know. And that's probably because it never really got dried and the oils in them didn't harden. I mean, that's what I think. As far as pests, I use a lot of mulch. And I like the sticky kind. The shredded bark is what I like because the slugs don't really bother. We don't like to climb on that because it bothers their foot. Coffee grounds. And then keep the area underneath your plants clean so that the slugs won't crawl up on those and then get over to the plant.
Now, I have had problems with herbs and aphids.
I have not.
Ah. Where they come in the window or something, like I've had a window garden.
Yes, I've heard of them doing that. Yeah. And remember last time I was here, Bridget Stearns called in and said azatrol is an organic product to get rid of aphids. And she sprays her greenhouse. And I would take my herbs, if they had in my house, I would take them to the garage or outside in the shade, spray the plant, put it in a grocery bag, tie it up, leave it overnight, maybe 2 days, take it out, hose it off, and bring it back inside. That's what I would do. Sounds like, it's what I've done in the past. Now let's go on to the geraniums. A lot of people were concerned that, I guess because we had such a dark, cold, long winter, that the geraniums indoors got so leggy that between where the branch left the stem of the plant and where the leaves with the end was 12 inches. And so, you know, we talked about cut it off, leave enough stem to put it in a 4-inch pot and stick it way down in the soil and press the soil tightly. Keep it warm, put it in a very sunny window, put it on a heat mat for a little bit so that it has a chance to root. Don't overwater it with geraniums. It's best to err on too little water than too much. Because I've killed, I don't know how many hundreds of geraniums because, well, it's Saturday, it's time to water you, and it wasn't ready to be watered.
Now, geraniums, are those in the winter, like you put them in your garage? I'm trying to remember how you cared for them.
Well, some people shake the dirt off and put them in the attic. Other people put them under the house. I bring mine in, cut them way back, pot all those things that I cut off and give those away or save them for the plant sale, you know, that kind of stuff. But I think they're very easy.
And then why? And they became leggy this year, probably no matter where they were stored or if they're in the house?
In the house.
Okay.
But when you pull them out of the attic, they can be, you know, they'll sprout at different places. So you might have an unbeautiful, that's not a word, but you know what I mean, gap between branches and foliage and flowers. And so I just get the scissors and start cutting them up. Yeah. Yeah. Again, fertilize, get them on a routine, start them out lightly with that quarter strength and build up to regular fertilizer full strength. And I think it works.
All right. Any other geranium advice?
I have scented geraniums. I have rose and mint and pineapple and a couple others. And I keep those inside and keep them pinched. They rarely ever flower. I don't know if scented geraniums are supposed to flower. But I like to move them around, keep them by the kitchen sink, keep them by my chair where I sit and read. If somebody's sick, Here's a rose-scented geranium. Here's a lemon-scented geranium.
So it's the leaves, basically.
The leaves
are giving that odor.
Oh, haven't you smelled?
I've smelled geraniums, but not necessarily.
Oh, you must try lemon-scented. Oh, okay. It's wonderful. Oh, it really is.
Huh.
It smells like a cut fresh lemon. Hmm. Pineapple smells like fresh pineapple. Mint smells like, I think, spearmint more than anything.
Are they almost like a natural air freshener in a sense? Like, are
well,
they that strong
enough? You have to kind of move
or
them around in order to get the chocolate. Smells delicious. But you have to touch it, I think, to make it do something. When you plant them outside, dig your hole, put in your fertilizer, put in some soil, you don't have to use Aquasorb in the ground or whatever those chemical, those crystals are. And then make kind of like a hill and plant it at the top of the hill so the stem isn't constantly sitting in water. So the water drains away.
And can you leave the geraniums outside over winter, or they really need to come in?
They really need to be in. It gets too cold. And I think the freezing, because the stem would freeze and thaw, it turns black and then just wilts or just dissolves. But inside, you can cut them all back. Two theories. Cut off the growing tips of the stems, plant those, throw away the stem that's gotten woody, or cut them off, pot up the parts you cut off. Don't pull the stem part out of the pot, but just keep it going. Keep it inside. Keep it warm. Make sure it has light, and it'll sprout again. But it's time-consuming and space-wise maybe, you know, not available to everybody. But it's possible to do all of that.
Okay.
So outdoor succulents. There's a lot of them available right now. There's London Pride and different kinds of sedums, and there are different kinds of sempervirens, echeverias.
I don't know them.
I'm trying to think of another name.
I just know what they look like, I guess. I know what succulents look like, but I don't know the names of any of them.
Well, they're available right now at all the nurseries and Walmart. And my only comment on those is you need to make sure you have good drainage and that they get as much sun as possible.
Now, can they all stay outside all winter?
Yes.
Like winter, any of them can?
I leave mine out there.
Okay.
I may bring the babies in to make a new pot or something if I'm intending to use it as a gift or to sell it or something. But they just stay outside. There are some ground covers. Some of the sedums make beautiful ground covers because they change colors. The sempervirens and echeveriums get those big, tall blossom stalks with the nodding little pink flowers. They're very good rock garden plants. My are planted up next to cement or brick or in rocks, well-draining soil. I mulch underneath them to keep them out of the mud because some of the leaves will rot because they got too wet, but they've been out there for years and years, and they just keep getting bigger and bigger and bigger. You can get them in purple, green, yellow, red, and some of them are real low growing and some of them are taller. Some of the sedums we sell them every year at the garden club, and they get to be between 12 and 18 inches tall, and they have lovely flowers. But that's too big for my yard, so I like the real low-growing ones. They overwinter. Most of them spread. Some of them spread like crazy. There's Sedum Angelique, which is like a chartreuse green most of the year, that spreads like weeds. But you've got this beautiful yellow section in your yard, and you can plant variegated iris. You can put primroses in there. It looks great under big shrubs. And nothing seems to bother it. And it just wiggles out across your yard.
And it sounds like something that, as a ground cover, I mean, definitely prolific, and you can use it to fill in
anywhere.
All over.
I use it in, when I plant potatoes on my deck, I have other things in there with it so that it looks more like an arrangement rather than a pot of green leaves. And it looks beautiful against the dark green of the potato leaves. Looks great hanging from a basket. So it's a versatile plant. Again, mine are all outside or in rock gardens next to cement and bricks. And when I get home today, I'm going to put my squash outside, my zucchini outside.
Because it's that time?
Well, it's actually past time. I mean, I'm getting buds on mine for flowers, and they should have been planted. And I know they're going to be so root-bound that they're going to just burst whenever I do get them in the ground. But it's never too late to finish the job. You know, I should have done that a month ago. I've got potatoes to still plant. They should have already been in the ground for a while. Just keep chugging along and get things done. Take pictures, write in your journal.
See how successful it is with a later planting.
Yes, and you'll have things to give away. and things to put, you know, you'll have stored for next year.
Okay, and we just have about a minute left here. Anything else you wanted to add?
Our next Garden Club meeting will be in September, and it will be on microgreens. Jim Gunther is going to show us how he, I don't know, microgreen farms, ranches.
Uh-huh.
I'm not sure what the word is, but that's what's coming up.
Okay, great. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much.
Lee Skidmore, again, thanks so much. And I often like to check in and find out more about gardening.